WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Martin Roper is an Irish writer whose newly published first novel, Gone, was excerpted a couple of months ago in The New Yorker. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says The New Yorker must have been very selective in choosing what parts of this novel to use.
After I finished Martin Roper's new, much ballyhooed debut novel called Gone, I came to the realization that, even as seasoned as I am, I'm still a gal who can be snookered by a smooth opening line or two. Gone makes readers a lot of promises at the beginning, to take us into realms of emotion we've never experienced in quite that way before, to speak startling phrases into our ears. But then, about halfway through the story, things get stale. By the time it ends, Gone is just going through the motions. It left me feeling cheap, used, and wistful for a reason to believe in the novel I once thought it was. The first-person narrator of Gone goes by his first name, Stephen, and he's a young man in Dublin who has contempt for his father, the Catholic Church, and Ireland in general. Sound familiar? That's part of the deceptive initial thrill of Gone. It revisits the blasted terrain of James Joyce land and inventively updates the place. Stephen's beloved younger sister Ruth is in a hospice dying of cancer, and in the first few pages of the novel, he's rushing to her bedside to say goodbye. Here's how Stephen begins his story. I put the telephone down and know Ruth is in the last moments of her life. There have been telephone calls before at odd hours, but never at 4 a.m. I dress quickly and run out onto an empty Tivoli road. It is dark and raining so heavily, I am soaked by the time I get to where the car should be parked. I can't find it on the road. City of stolen cars. God is testing me. That is what Ruth will say, and I try not to get angry, but it is too late. I am shaking with rage. The most compelling feature of Gone, indeed the one that it sustains throughout its entire narrative, is that staccato rhythm of its present tense sentences. Stephen is always biting off words and muttering phrases under his breath. After Ruth dies and Stephen and his father spend money they don't have on her funeral, we understand more about his background. Stephen's mother abandoned the family when he and Ruth were kids. His father is a house painter, and Stephen himself works in a factory spray painting TV consoles. He's married to a woman named Ursula, who's a couple of rungs above him on the class ladder. She writes freelance pieces for a Dublin newspaper. Together, they're renovating a house in a shabby section of the city, and they're being harassed nightly by a gang of resentful neighborhood kids who spit at them and throw rocks through the windows. The kids' meanness and Stephen's passivity in the face of it hasten the downfall of his and Ursula's already wobbly marriage. Stephen takes flight and moves to New York City. So far, so good. Gone is atmospheric and offers some fresh takes on people and situations. For instance, when a friend confesses her own marital troubles to Stephen, he thinks to himself, "I feel I am getting old, learning to know that sharing such intimacy is not intimacy. It's nothing but a slide into collusion." But literally speaking, Stephen's relocation to New York is a disaster. There, he meets an older woman named Holfi, who reads like an homage to the late Nico from the Velvet Underground. She's a photographer, originally from Iceland. Now she lives in a hip West Village studio, and she awakens him to the delights of avant-garde art and sadomasochistic sex. Good erotica is a challenge to write. It's got to be compelling but teasing, too solemn, and it gives the reader the giggles. Roper's erotic descriptions are way too solemn to be taken seriously. Holfi, for example, is given to making Nietzschean comments about pain being the pathway to purity in sex. After she brazenly engages in a lesbian dalliance before his eyes, Stephen abandons Holfi for a soul-searching journey through the heart of American highway cliches. Then he travels to Wales to confront his long-lost mother about deserting the family. that's when I finally caught on that all the women in this novel fall into that old virgin whore either-or bin. Gone itself breaks up into two very different kinds of novels. The first half is well worth a read. The second is an embarrassing fictional fling I'd just rather forget.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed the new novel Gone by Martin Roper.